Question 35. How many loaves have ye? Mark 8:5. And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. Matthew 15:34. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. Mark 6:38. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5, and 2 fishes. There's a lovely story told in Acts 3 about a man, lame from birth, who was laid at the gate and asked alms of those who passed by. Peter and John, going into the temple, passed by him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We can only give what we have. In the story from which comes our question, the Lord is putting forth a query regarding inventory. As the masses approach, all know that it is many miles back to the town. It's likely these came out unprepared to stay, but the Master taught and preached and healed all day, and time has now escaped them. There's a crisis. The body clocks have ticked through supper time and beyond. Jesus saw an opportunity to teach a lesson of faith and show himself as the sustenance of life. He asked, how many loaves have ye? Their answer makes it glaringly apparent that there's not enough. A mild but increasing panic presents itself to the disciples. Jesus continues to search their silent faces for ideas. The empty expressions and glances back and forth are halted by Jesus' next instruction. Command them to sit down, he said. Now that it's established that they can do nothing to alleviate the problem, why would Jesus ask everyone to sit down? It's because in a crowd, when all are standing, it's very difficult to see anything except the one in front of you. It's obvious he wants all to see him supply the need. He blessed, then broke the bread, and the disciples handed it out to the people. There was more than enough. Do you believe that Jesus is the very Son of God, the Redeemer of all mankind, and the bread of life? He claims to be the bread that comes from heaven. He also claimed that if we eat from his table, we will gain eternal life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now let me ask you concerning this bread from heaven. How many loaves have ye? In your trek on this earth, you may never be in such a place of responsibility to feed as many as did the disciples. Even spiritually speaking, you may never find yourself as the one to whom many might look to find the bread of life. But you should still ask yourself and answer the question, how many loaves have ye? If someone came to you spiritually malnourished and begging for a right relationship to God, do you have the bread of life for which they so desperately seek? And if you do, do you have it to spare? You may have read books and done your homework. You may listen attentively to teachers who claim to know. But when it comes down to showing the logistics and realities of a life in Christ, when it comes down to affecting Christ as real to someone who needs him, as bread is to a starving man, can you do it? When talking of the Christian life to someone who knows the jargon or with someone familiar with your faith and practice, many things can go unsaid and yet understood. But what does your faith, your meeting, your church, denomination have to offer the one on the street, the vagrant, the drunk, the destitute? How many loaves have ye? Do you hold in your possession the bread of life that can take away forever the gnawing hunger in the soul of a man you may meet downtown, on the job, or in the mission? With the realization of your impoverished cupboards where the bread of life is to be in store, you may panic and seek out those who seem to have an abundance. There are many who claim to have plenty of bread for the hungry soul and are willing to teach us and thus supply this bread. But should you trust these merchants to fill the gaps of your lacking relationship? Is this food of the soul to be found in education or preparation or held in store by mental or mechanical processes? If you're not sure of the supply nor the source, then you must suspect that perhaps you may not have enough for yourself. In any case, you should realize that the possibility to share the wonderful life in Christ is yours only because you possess and enjoy the wonderful life in Christ. The realization becomes more painful when you recognize that your reluctance to share Christ, or your inability to do so, may be because you have no such life experience of your own. Evangelism takes on a sadistic tone if we're only showing images of bread that we do not possess. We create appetites for which we ourselves have no satisfaction. We can tell the hungry about the bread our forefathers possessed. We can recite scriptures telling about the bread the apostles had. But when it comes down to actually offering true grace, true power, true life-changing baptism by fire, we are as poor as the ones we have coaxed to our cupboard. Does our ministry only tantalize and create hunger, then leave them hopeless for a sample of this bread of life? One will find that many teachers who claim the ability to win souls can only mime and parrot, creating converts who enjoy no true or lasting effect. They sell books and tapes and lectures. They give advice and counsel. They enthuse and excite, but they have no bread. How many loaves have ye? Once in the life of George Fox, the founder of the Quaker faith, he challenged a group of religious people, stating that they were well-trained in the scriptures and could repeat with little difficulty what the apostles said, and they could recite what Christ said. But he asked the crowd, "What canst thou say?" Many may quote scripture, but who can hear and reproduce the words of God from his own heart? Many have such a mechanical relationship with Christ that the word of God to them is a book to be memorized. Many know the words, but don't know the true word. How many realize that the word of God is to flow from the mouths of Christians? No, not recitation of scripture, but the living word of God. God's message to his people is to come from us. The bread of life, the word of God by which we are to live. Consider these scriptures in this new light. Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Exodus 13:9, "That the Lord's law may be in thy mouth." Deuteronomy 30:14, "But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth." Isaiah 59:21, "And my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, henceforth and forever." Jeremiah 1:9, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Romans 10:8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach." The world has gone into starvation lacking the bread of life. Our towns, our villages, our homes, even we ourselves are starved for this bread of life, of eternal life. How many loaves have ye? Though it may be that you can only give what you have, the good news is that what you have can be made enough by Christ Jesus, if it's given to him. You need not go through this life fearing that someone may ask you of the hope that is in you. You can prepare yourself by dedication and study, by consecration and holy living, by meditation and worship. Christ is able to take what you have and multiply it to the masses, to the group, to the family, the friend, and the neighbor. Place what you have in his hands. Make yourself ready to get it back in bounty. He is the bread of life. How many loaves have ye?